fucking love Mr. Kipling. Anyway, what's a G1?
Not that hard to explain. Just wait to eat my fucking biscuit. No,
it's not a biscuit, it's a cake, you dick.
I'm not getting into the whole Jaffa cake scenario. It's a cake, it's a biscuit. It's
well,
a
that's
cookie.
A cake.
It is a cake.
Does it pay less tax on it?
What's a tax? What's
a tax? Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, oh,
sorry.
What's wrong with Pokemon Go?
Pokemon go and fuck himself, you know, like.
Fuck's sake.
Right.
Right, okay.
We're doing this.
So, let's
are
do
we?
This. Yeah.
I hope so.
Live from Belfast, Northern Ireland, you're listening to the Four Sweet Horsemen Podcast with Richard Drew, Andrew Moore, Chris Curlett, and Stephen Curry.
Podcast. My name is Richard.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Curry.
And I am Chris.
Okay, and today we've something different. We're straying from the old faithful WWE, WWF. I know, it's unfortunate. Chris is such a mark.
Chris is actually playing the WWE mobile card game while recording this.
I know, he is.
He's having withdrawals.
He's
symptoms.
The fucking Markiest of Marks going. Like, he's Marky Mark and the fucking
Funky Bunch.
The Funky Bunch.
Funky Gang, what the fuck we're called.
I just can't keep up. I can't keep up.
Literally, we talked about covering this. One of these matches, it wasn't in WWE, and straight away he was onto his phone because he was having withdrawal symptoms.
Yeah,
straight away. But,
separation anxiety, fucking Vince texting you. What's up, babes?
I know.
But in fairness, the match we are going to talk about tonight, or today, or whatever day you're listening to us, what time of day you're listening up, is Omega versus Naito in the G1 final in 2017. And fuck me, what a match. I mean, this. Fuck me. Just
it's great.
That's the end of the podcast.
That's it. I can't contribute any more to that.
It's hard to describe how fucking incredible this match was. Now, we probably should give a bit of context to New Japan Pro Wrestling and what the G1 tournament's all about.
We'll do our fucking best.
Yeah, so I'll leave it to you then, Curry.
Why the fuck? Okay, well...
Because you're the only one who's fucking looked it up.
You've literally got Wikipedia.
Don't, man, I was going to try and make myself sound smart as if it was Remedy. You just fucking ratted me out. I'm
did
sitting
be,
here on my phone.
Yeah, you're
I
magic.
Don't even know what a
the
G1
magic,
is.
The magic behind the scene magic. Fuck me. So anyway, I'm not reading this off
I'm
of
breaking,
my...
I'm breaking kayfabe here.
You fucking, man, kayfabe's fucking doctor you in the distance.
I had a general idea about G1 because I looked it up before when I first started watching it. And I was like, right, okay. So it's like a big long form tournament.
It just seems like the most convoluted tournament in the history
yeah.
of wrestling. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It is.
Is it held in Rio de Janeiro?
What?
That's, yeah. Remember, it's Pat Patterson was famous for winning the IC title in Rio because he couldn't say Rio de Janeiro. So they said he won it in a tournament in Rio de Janeiro so that when he was doing interviews he had to say Rio de Janeiro. Don't know this? See, this is what I learned
from
my WWE games.
Tumbleweed at the door trying
someone
to get
is
in?
Sitting at
is.
Home
dude,
going,
what?
We're talking about New Japan.
And you're still talking about
and
WWE.
And you're still talking about WWE.
I know.
And I'm Brazil.
I'm just looking at you blankly going, let it go.
Just tap on
I won't bring it out. I won't bring it up again.
Where's this going?
What? It's like... Honestly, I haven't even got to introduce what the G1 climax is, and you're already talking about it.
I think.
Well, what's
think,
a G1 then?
Right,
G1. I think
grade
G1.
One. Grade
like,
1 is what
yeah.
it stands for.
It's the original Transformers, right?
That is Generation 1.
Sorry.
Andrew!
This will be 40 minutes later, and we're still talking about
who
what G1
are
is.
My friends?
We've already hit 4 minutes.
right, G1 climax. Grade 1 is what that stands for. It's like a round robin tournament esque type scenario
yeah.
that lasts for. 4 weeks, usually held in August.
Okay.
Is it August? It is.
Yes.
Yeah, held
it
in August, and it runs on 2 blocks, A and B block, and it's a point system where you get 2 points per win, a single point for a draw, and obviously if you fucking lose, you get nout.
Yeah.
So that's how that builds up, and it's been around. It's from the 80s, isn't it? It's or
it's been four. A. I think it's been a long tournament. Yeah, I think it's been a
fucking
long
bet
tournament.
Even, oh shit! No, here I'm full of shit. 74, I believe.
Right.
Were
sort
were
of in the Inoki days, the Antonio Inoki
yeah.
days and stuff. I think the best way to that people might still not understand it. Think of it a bit like World Cup qualifying tournament for football.
Yeah.
And then you have groups. And the teams all play each other in a group, and whoever has the most points then progresses on. And the, based on where you are in that group, I think only one or two progress out of the group.
Yeah.
And then they face each other in the finals.
Well, fuck, to be honest, not understanding prior to this podcast what exactly the G1 Climax was, you know, it took nothing away from watching the individual.
No, fuck,
oh no, you know, absolutely not.
If you don't know what it is, and I'm sure, because fucking, I don't know as much as the rest of anybody here, no, never mind anybody actually listening to this, you guys probably know a shitload more about New Japan and the formats and stuff, so irrelevant to any of what the G1 Climax is, I'm focusing just on the match. If this match was cut and pasted into any other fucking tournament, it would still be as impactful and amazing. It was just unreal.
Interesting thing about this was, now, I had only just sort of started watching New Japan around this time, like many people, because of hearing about the Omega Okada match originally, the first one. And I started taking interest, and I was like, fuck, is this whole on tap thing? Now, it wasn't easy to get a hold of these matches.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but is would you say that Naito Omega, Kenny Omega versus Tetsuya Naito, was that the match that got you watching New Japan? Or you were already watching?
I was already watching it, but yeah, I wasn't watching it as often as I am now.
Sure.
I try to watch it more now. But I had already, you know, the interesting point, before this match, Omega faced Okada in the third match, and he beat him to progress. So at that stage, they, in the first Okada Omega match,
Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, Wrestle Kingdom. Okada won that match. Then they had a rematch a short while later, and it ended in a draw.
Yeah,
it was the time limit, 60 minutes,
wasn't it? Yeah,
And it went, and that was, the first match was amazing. The second match was
mind blown.
Third match was very, very good. Wasn't quite up to the standard of the others.
I really like the fast paced nature of that one. I really quite liked.
Yeah, and it suited Kenny Omega's style more.
It was only about 25 minutes long, I think.
Yeah, yeah, and it was a fantastic match. And I watched that, and everyone said
it was really hard hitting.
Yeah, and everyone said fuck, that match was incredible. And then I kind of had no plans to watch the final, just because work was fucking crazy at the time. But then I started seeing on social media after the final had happened, and people who were watching New Japan were going, holy fuck, everyone needs to watch Omega and Naito,
like,
because he said, I didn't think it could possibly be better than Omega Okada 3, but fuck me, it surpassed it. And I was like, fuck, I need to watch this. And now, I hadn't really seen much of Naito before. I was aware of who he was, but I hadn't really seen him wrestle. Again, I wasn't really in depth of watching New Japan at the time, and this was my first proper introduction to his wrestling style, to the point where before I actually watched it, I looked up his background, and there's a really good YouTuber, fuck, I can't remember his name, but he covers Shoebuckle, I think he's called.
Okay.
I think it's Shoebuckle, and he tends to cover a lot of the backstory of New Japan.
Yeah.
For Western audiences that maybe don't understand it, because there is that language barrier and cultural difference, and it's hard to understand if you're coming to it new. And he explained the whole background about Naito originally being Tanahashi's tag partner.
Yeah.
And how he was always seen as the lesser light, as someone just trying to copy Tanahashi when he was young. And the crowd didn't take to him at all, to the point where he ended up taking a bit of strop and fell out with the New Japan crowd and
fucked
left.
Off to Mexico, didn't
fucked
he?
Off to Mexico. And ended up joining Los Ingobernables.
Yep. Who at the time was ran by Cien Almas, if I remember correctly, under the mask.
That's right,
he was the main dude, as far as I remember. Let me see, talk away there and I'll look it up.
But basically, basically what had happened is that Naito went away to Mexico and recrafted his whole persona and did it really, really well. Now, it's strange because stereotypically, the Mexicans are known to be quite racist, just the way their cultural sort of setup is. Especially people towards of Asian origin, and they actually mocked
Naito
about his eyes, for being different because he's from Japan, and they used to say, "Open your eyes."
Fucking brutal! Like,
it's like, is it "Opre los ojos" or whatever? Jesus. I can't remember what the Spanish is for. And he actually ran with that as a gimmick, to the point where now, still to this day, when he's returned to Japan, he used to actually mock the crowd and used to hold open his eye.
That's what he was doing.
He was doing to the crowd. He was mocking them. I'm opening my eye, so you can't mock me, you know. And that's where he gets that thing where he opens his eye with his fingers.
And to fill in the stopgap there that I said I was looking up, it was La Sombra was the character that Cien Almas played.
Right.
As not a leader of Los Ingobernables, but he was one of the founding members.
Right, okay.
That faction, as they stated, there was no leaders, they were all of equal. Oh, which was kind of a cool sort of dynamic apparently that they had, and that's how Naito had taken Lawson Governor Blaze Japan over there and has recruited the, even though he's a leader over there, essentially. So it's a bit of a strange.
Well, he's a more a figurehead, you know. I don't think he's a deliberate leader, it's just that he stands out more because of his persona.
Who have we got? Sonata, Evil, Sonata, Evil,
Saxon Virginia, is he in?
No, he's part of Suzuki Gun. You've got what do you call your man? A spits of fucking the green shit all the time. Christ, I'm gonna sound like a spastic here.
You do anyway.
Bushi? Bushi? Is that his name?
Yes. Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Bushi, and then we've got, what do you call your wee lad? Broke his neck there recently. That has Daryl the cat.
It's not Tanahashi, it's
Takahashi. There's a newer member of Los
Ingobernables.
Yeah, who's the new guy again?
I can't remember. But anyway, getting back to it. Basically, Naito returns to Japan, all refreshed, invigorated, with a new persona, and he really, really works as a heel, to the point where the crowd have actually really warmed him as a heel. He's almost like the anti-hero, because he's such a bat, he's such a cunt, like, and the crowd love him for it.
He looks like a fantastic Final Fantasy VII villain.
Yes, but he's not as good as Tai Chi. Oh, he genuinely is. But he's a Final Fantasy VIII villain. More like
may contain retro gaming.
Definitely contains retro gaming in this one.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's Takagi is the new member of Lawson Governor of Japan. He's the new guy. He's only rocked up in October there.
Oh right, okay.
Because Takahashi fucked his neck up. Remember he broke his neck there. Poor bastard.
Basically, I had no real experience before, but that show buckle video really explained everything to me about his rise, his fall, and his rise again. And when I watched that and then went into the match, I had a bit of an idea then. His backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he came to the ring, though, I just thought, that boy, he's a cool motherfucker.
He's a smooth motherfucker.
He's a smooth motherfucker. He's totally smooth.
He looks, kind of, for me, he's got a real comic book esque type villain feel to him.
Yeah.
And then, as you say, like Final Fantasy, just reeks of that for me with the cape and whatnot.
You know what the funny thing is? The way that his whole cool persona and his I don't give a fuck attitude. Kind of, I don't think he just puts that on. I think he genuinely is that.
Well, she heard the rumors.
About the WWE.
Sorry, Chris, we're going to talk about WWE, and I don't get a hard on.
Welcome
back. He's just dialed in. He's just like,
I zoned out for a bit there. What?
Basically, for anyone not to know, there was rumors flying about, quite substantiated rumors, that WWE had recently made an approach to Naito, and came over to Japan to approach him to see if he would join WWE with a contract offer. Naito had arranged to meet them in his favourite restaurant, and they were sitting there, and he looked at the contract and mulled it over and said, I need to go to the toilet. So he goes to the toilet and then jumps out the fucking window of the toilet, fucks off and leaves them to finish the bill.
Personally, I would prefer it if he like ran past him and done the fucking destito and just fucking lay on the ground and like point at the air or something. They were sitting having their fucking meal and they see him run out in the street and just do it in the middle of the road and like clear off.
Yeah, you know, he kind of had his chance to do like a Godfather thing where he just goes in the toilet, just lifts the gun out of the toilet, then walks out, shoots two of them, and then
fuck me, Andy, it's a bit extreme.
But
I wrote
there's
that he
a war
man,
there's a secret war going on. You don't even know.
I'm oblivious.
I just wrote that he looked like a pimp.
He does. He does look like a pimp.
Oh, he cape and all.
Many pimps you know work here.
What do you call your boy in Bullet Club? He always comes out and he's got your woman with him.
That singer dude?
I know what you're doing. We're going to sound like such fucking dope heads. Like we don't know anything about you,
Japan. I've had a mind, but it's been a long fucking day. It really has been. Naito just comes down the fucking ramp and he's a cool motherfucker in a suit. With hair like the lion from the front of a lion bar. his hair is wild, like. But his theme music's fucking class. I really love it. It's class. Same with the Niggas theme song's class, but I really, really love Naito's theme music.
And this is a good time to say, of course, we saw it in person.
Fuck,
in Dublin.
Oh, it was amazing. And
so good.
It was so good seeing him in Dublin.
Takahashi, Bullet Club, that guy that has all the naked chicks all the time with him. Not naked chicks, but.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes. So, anyway. I had no expectations going into this match. All of them what I'd heard online, especially after the Mega Okada number 3.
I think that was the issue though. I think I had so many expectations going this match because of the online buzz.
Oh right, okay.
It was completely opposite.
I was sort of thinking, it was like
the 10 stars from Dave Meltzer where the fuck he gave it,
yeah. I think it was like another 5 or 6 star match. I think
it was a 5 star, yeah.
A 5 star match.
The first time I watched this match was this morning. So I remember watching the trilogy matches, and then right. I've watched a couple of full pay-per-views with yous, but this is the first
that.
I sat down, and I did it this morning with a cup of tea.
You must be dry as a bone pulling the bar yourself, because watch that first time over again.
I'm quite jealous.
I just couldn't get over it, because I see even like the point where they're in the ring, and Omega puts the finger gun up, and Naito
does the wide eye
to the finger, and then the belt. I was like, oh, shit's getting real. And then I've literally just wrote spot after spot after spot.
Do you know what? When I was making notes, like yourself, I had to keep pausing it because I couldn't keep up. The spots were just fucking... There's so many fucking stupidly mental spots in this match that I just couldn't keep up. The fucking match is crawling with them. I mean, I have to say that...
There's legitimately a couple of parts where I thought both men could be dead.
He should be dead. He should be dead, and then 2 minutes later he should be dead.
Do you know what,
back and forth,
Chris, you actually mentioned a good point about whenever Omega comes in after Naito, and Omega does the finger point, you know, like the gun towards Naito. At that point the crowd starts to lose their shit. Now, New Japan crowds
are not usually very vocal.
They're not very vocal.
Well, you know, in certain bits they are.
Watching this was the only time I've sat watching New Japan where the crowd sound like an American or a different type of
like a Western audience.
Yeah,
because
it was really fucking loud. And I was like, is this recorded in Japan? But obviously it was.
I mean, they were electric from the beginning, and I just thought that was odd. But then again, it was the final, and I think the crowd had a lot of expectations going into this.
So is this for the title then?
It's like a trophy you win.
No, it's for the G1. It's essentially like, not the brain, but totally King of the Ring.
Yeah.
Okay.
To win a position to face.
Yeah, and the winner of this goes on to face the champion, the IWGP champion at Wrestle Kingdom.
But Omega was the champion.
No, he was the US champion in this match.
Yeah.
He was a mid-card.
He was a mid-carder.
He wasn't the world champion at this point.
He had challenged a few times for the world championship. But
did I watch the right match?
I fucking hope so.
Yeah.
He's the fucking IWGP champion here.
No, he's the US
champion. No, he's the US champion here, man.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
What the fuck are you watching?
I don't know. This one, because I remember that wee cape.
Yeah.
Pay attention to the title.
Look at the title. There's an American flag on it.
Oh, fuck.
He's the US champion. You were thinking
too much
about
WWE. I was too busy pulling the bar at myself. I was like,
I'm going blind.
Yeah.
It's actually brilliant. Whenever the match finally does start to kick off, they're soaking up the atmosphere. Now, if you've never watched New Japan wrestling before, you need to fucking watch it, because WWE main roster does not come close to the in-ring craft that these guys have. They fucking absolutely...
Hang on,
this is what I was telling you earlier. I was saying that if Kenny wins the tournament, he can't exactly fight himself.
Hang on, this is...
You put on the wrong match, you fucking dick.
This is the match I watched this morning.
This is the one you linked us to.
It wasn't.
It was.
You put the link in.
Okay, hit. Fucking
I'm not pausing anything. There's another match that Curry hasn't watched.
Hold on.
Okay, look, we'll move on. I have enough talking points about it, so don't be worrying. And you'll
no, hit pause, seriously,
gone.
Hit pause.
Okay.
You can't record
okay.
this.
We'll go to a short break. And we're back. Okay, so I'm going to try and explain this. This will be like us trying to explain the G1 tournament. So convoluted. So it turns out that Curry did watch the match, but he watched the second half of it.
Can I say in my defense, if you listened to the previous episode, I was very hungover. This one is also recorded on the same day, so I'm still just as hungover, and I've clearly made a royal fucking botch where I have watched the start of the wrong match of Naito Omega, and then had to run on an errand, came back to watch the remaining of it, and watched the correct match. So my notes are of one fucking fight, and they trail into another fight, so I can dial in halfway through when I know what the fuck's going on.
I still don't know what match we're covering.
The funny thing is that Chris has watched the wrong match.
Yeah. And I've wrote it all.
But Chris...
you actually have proper notes.
Yeah. But Chris can go on a voyage of discovery with us, because he can watch the matches that's playing in the background.
Accidentally sent Chris the wrong match, maybe? Yeah.
Wait, maybe you did? Fuck off. I was sitting there going, look at these New Japan wrestling fans, they don't even know what the fucking IWGP... What's it called? IGWP...
IWGP.
And I'm like, Dave Herbner, and I'm like, that is it? What the fuck? No, I haven't watched the right match.
Okay.
I'm only half as bad as you.
Right. Chris hasn't watched the right match. Curry has watched half of the right match.
But he's seen the match before anyway.
I have seen this match.
And me and Richard did actually watch the full match.
Yes.
So on that basis,
take away, boys.
We're going to salvage this shit show and keep going.
So if you haven't watched this match and you're listening in, don't ask Curry for the link.
No.
But you can go on a voyage of discovery with Curry and Chris, and we can all sort of work out what's happening in this match. And we will talk about it because there's loads to talk about. Now, we've already talked about the crowd being electric at the start of the match. Naito actually, whenever Naito and Omega go to lock up, they're just soaking up the atmosphere, but everything about Naito is just cool as fuck in this, because at the start he continuously dodges Omega, and when they go for the lock up he ducks underneath his arm continuously.
The mind games are fantastic.
It's the fake outs are just absolutely brilliant, and the only thing that they serve to do, well, the main thing they serve to do, is just building the crowd expectations. I mean, the crowd's just going, would you fucking hurry up and lock up, you know?
I love the
they're blue balling the crowd.
Yeah, but it's just Naito's perception, I think, is so cool. Even though he wears a fucking suit and all, and he looks pro as fuck, and he just does this wee dick heelish moves as the turnaways. I think they're just beautifully done.
Yeah.
Beautifully done.
And he never looks flustered at all. It's all part of his persona.
Fuck, man, look at him. He's class.
Yeah, and he basically does it twice. And then I think the final time.
He's such a dick.
Kenny does it. Goes to do the dodge.
Throw it back at him.
Yeah, and
do you know they
it's
did,
absolutely fucking fantastic.
They did something similar in the match that I watched this morning.
Take it away, Chris.
Oh no! So maybe that's just their stick. So there we go. Well, I'm just gonna watch this match in, and
you sit in the background and go, "Holy fuck!" Every time something happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they basically have the crowd foaming at the tip at this point, and they haven't even
started
anything.
I mean, they have Chris script as well, so you know.
Yeah. And then Kenny, of course, you know, he mocks Naito with the opening the eye thing. You know, it's part of his whole persona. But they both go to fake each other out, and then they start attacking each other properly. But the best thing about this is that immediately, when I first watched this match, it was fucking brilliant. Naito does the spit. I'd never seen him spit before.
Oh.
What's your opinions on him spitting?
But man, it happens so much in New Japan in comparison.
It does actually
to a lot of other.
Yeah, I think it's as big a taboo in New Japan as it would be in Western federations.
Yeah,
but it's like. I've always like that's to me it's,
oh,
Naito's
no, it's
thing. Naito
it's
spits
the biggest
all the
dick
fucking
move.
Time.
Yeah, but like if you watch football or something, you see a footballer spit, you're like, what the fuck? The fuck is?
I suppose the only other famous spit that I can think of from like WWE, Chris, you know where I'm probably going with this, is remember when the Screwjob, the Montreal Screwjob,
when
Brett gets up and he fucking throws the biggest greener like on Vince's fucking face. Like that's a proper hatred filled gob in someone's face. Whereas in New Japan, it happens so often. It's
just a mark of disrespect. I don't think it has. That's pretty bad, but I don't think it has the same maybe connotations over there that it does here.
It's something that Bret Hart does quite often, though. Like, he did it to Shawn Michaels in the SummerSlam match 2 months prior to this Montreal Screwjob.
That's how the Montreal Screwjob happened.
Randy Orton, he had the whole gimmick where he was a legend killer, and his thing was to spit in the legends' faces.
Oh, he's completely wrong.
No, he did that for like a year, and it was always these big fucking greeners.
It was
disgusting.
Dirty
bastard.
Yeah, he's a dirty bastard, but he does the spitting thing, and then what happens is that Naito then Irish whips Omega basically out of the ring, And this is the first time I'd ever seen this. And when I first saw this event, this Naito was just the coolest bastard I've ever seen. He basically does, it's a signature move. He does a token sort of fake out lariat thing where he rebounds off the ropes, and it hints he's going to do a suicide dive, but he doesn't. He basically does a flip and rolls onto his side in the ring and basically just relaxes. Yes, like lying prone, relaxing, and puts his hand up in the air.
And that was actually the first time I ever saw that whenever I watched the match. Yeah. I wasn't really aware of Naito's work.
Exactly. And remember,
Tranquilo, is that what you call it?
Don't know if it's a Tranquilo.
That's what I looked like this morning watching the wrong match on the sofa.
Oh, fuck.
The best thing when we saw it in Dublin at the 40th anniversary of OTT, and he did that, the whole fucking crowd just reacted like a football crowd. It was like, yay! It was great. So he did it. It was
Can
amazing.
Can I say in my defence, I only watched the start of the wrong match. As we see it on screen here, I'm like, I have got this all fucking right.
Let it go.
This is fucking dead on. I can pure talk about this.
To be fair, like everything that builds up at the start of this match, it's all just for build up. It's just constant. There's a bit of action, but immediately the first holy shit moment in a match full of holy shit moments is basically they work outside, and then Kenny basically kicks Naito. And has him standing there near the metal barrier, and Kenny basically jumps up off the metal barrier with a shooting star. It's like a shooting star, a reverse
moonsault. But it's the fact that he does it so
close to him,
and
the crowd.
It's so quick. Yeah. Like he literally goes up, puts his hands up to the crowd, as in like,
yeah, he's
don't fucking move.
He's like, don't move, it's fine.
And those wee small details and why Kenny Omega is so good, because every time he does something like that, be it off the ropes or be it off like a railing, you just see his legs shake for 2 seconds to make you think, well, shit, he's gonna fuck this up.
Yeah,
but it's so fast. He bounces. There's no, like, he doesn't clamber up and get his balance and then jump. He literally springs ground, rail, boom.
Yeah,
hits the moonsault, and it's fucking class.
As I've noticed, it's pure brilliance and athleticism from Kenny Omega, and it was just a fantastic move. I think around this time as well, we see the token Westerners in the audience, because I think that they're starting to come over and visit New Japan matches after the Omega Okada matches and the Young Bucks matches and things like that.
I love how the Young Bucks are like over, like congratulating them and stuff and really prepping them up.
Yeah.
Like boxing managers, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
They're like the ones you'd see in the UFC.
But as we said, they don't ever get involved. You know, it's fucking great.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, there's a bit that, of course, after that Kenny literally basically just fucking...
But that's the start of him working on Naito's back as well,
yeah,
when he starts charging them into the barriers.
Charging them into the barriers, and basically on top of the crowd. And because these aren't the big padded barriers we talked about in the previous episode that WWE have. They're the actual flimsy enough metal barriers that move quite easily.
I'd say they look
like they hurt.
Definitely. And to the point you always see the crowd, their knees always get hit.
I know,
you
know, poor bastards, front row seats come out in a wheelchair. You know what I mean?
But it's just fucking absolutely brilliant. You know, there's a bit that follows up after this, and you sort of think to yourself, you've already seen some absolutely fucking fantastic moments this match and holy shit moments, but
nearly 10 minutes in, like,
if even 10 minutes in, and then you see that Kenny does a neck breaker. It's Naito does a neck breaker to Kenny Omega on the apron.
But see, that's the whole thing. The whole shtick of the entire match pretty much is
the work
on
the neck.
Kenny's on Naito's back, and Naito's on Kenny's neck, so it's kind of like whose body part is going to give in sooner.
Yeah,
and that's what the whole thing, and I think that's, as we mentioned in a lot of the episodes, it's the storytelling aspect.
Yeah,
and I find it a real fucking pain in the hole when I try to explain to people about New Japan and they're like, but you know, unless you've got English commentary to follow, it's like bullshit, because the storytelling is in the ring.
Exactly.
You don't need a lot of context to this stuff. It's fantastic.
Well, the first time you guys talked about New Japan Pro Wrestling and the chat for ages, and I'd never watched it, and the first time I watched it with yous, I don't think we had the English commentary, but I was able to pick up on what was happening.
Yeah.
And it's just the story itself was amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know, I could go into an hour rant about how much I love New Japan Pro Wrestling when I sit down to watch it, but at the same time,
you don't watch
I don't watch it,
I think from a week to week perspective, I do think New Japan is quite hard to get into.
Yeah.
But if you just stick to their big four or five shows, you're getting some of the best wrestling of the year, hands down.
I don't have time to watch all the wrestling every week. It's just too much wrestling.
I think I'm watching, I think even as
wrestling's fucking shite. Like,
but the week-to-week shows kind of are, though.
They are. They're not. And that goes for most promotions. But you know, at least with the big pay-per-views that the big shows that New Japan have, there are truly great fucking matches in it.
I think there's like a tipping point where this, you always get your openers that are like six man tags or something.
Well, I still think they're quite good, and they are
good matches, but there's definitely a tipping point where you get that like Ishii Suzuki match or something,
just goes
or
next level
or something.
Yeah,
and that's when the big hard schlaps start coming in, and then the card afterwards just gets fucking great.
I'd agree with that. Yeah, absolutely. Because the I think it's good for any promotion. I think some WWE has issues with. It's something that even OTT. And I think I get why they do. I don't see why they shouldn't. But multi-man matches do kill crowds. I think.
You think so?
I think they do. I think it's just an excuse to get as many people on a show. By comparison to singles matches.
Yeah.
Singles matches. Well, you get the time to tell shows. That's something WrestleMania suffers so badly at these days. I think
they did try to thumb too many people into WrestleMania.
But Vince McMahon always says he just wants to try and get as much of his roster onto one show, and that's why it's about 7 hours long.
But see, I think that they'd be better just having more singles matches and giving them space to breathe.
Absolutely, if you're not good enough to be on WrestleMania, then you shouldn't be.
The writers shouldn't be anywhere near WrestleMania for a start.
Well, you should be shoehorned into the Andre the Giant battle royal, you know?
No. But
the thing about those multi man matches, there's never a story.
No.
It's just a means to an end for a victory. You know, it's to win or lose scenario. Whereas, like as we mentioned, these have context, story. And even if you don't know background, it's going to happen in front of your eyes and you follow it. It's not just all about the victory.
Go ahead, Chris.
But the thing about the multi-matches in New Japan Pro Wrestling is they're all faction-based. So at least there's an ongoing story.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like having the fucking... the Undisputed Era, who are a faction, go against Pete Dunne and the War Raiders just because they need three people to go against them. It's like New Japan's almost like a gang. It's like an area where all these gangs want to take over. I'm going to be the
top.
You look at a multi-man, it's like, okay, that's a story because you've got, I'm not very good with the names, but you know, you've got this group.
You've got Bullet Club
group
versus Suzuki Gun, you've got Chaos, you've got Los Ingobernables of Japan.
They're all trying to vie for supremacy.
They're never just threw together. May just be like, right, we need you all on the show, so you're going to have the multi-man match, but
There's always a context to it, I think, in New Japan, because even in singles matches, they've not just got like in the likes of G1, you don't really have that story build because it's a tournament.
Sure.
But
people have their backstories.
It's the backstories, and they've got their factions that they're part of, and that all builds towards it. And some of these things go back years. Previous encounters go back years, and that's why you'll get these fucking absolute sterling matches, and that's something that WWE doesn't build on. The main roster doesn't build a long term story.
Zero continuity.
Yeah, there's exactly.
It's
too many gimmicks and zero continuity.
Yeah,
and
that's one thing though in New Japan as well. I find that there's of the more upper card players, there's not gimmicky. They're not gimmicky.
No, they just go in and wrestle.
Yeah, they go in and, like, there is. There's a couple of characters in there, like in the earlier. But there's nothing like fucking Mega comes out like with this. Remember, was it one of the Wrestle Kingdoms comes out with a half Terminator face and the shotgun and stuff.
Yeah,
but that's not a shtick. You know, he's Kenny the Cleaner. He's the Terminator and all.
Yeah,
but that's where it ends.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just an entrance.
Yeah, he's not running about trying to be a fucking robot, like.
No, he's not. No, as much as he'd probably like to be, but. There's a big moment in this. The neck breaker on the apron at Naito
Hardest
does.
Part of the ring.
At Naito does to Kenny Omega is fucking brutal. And then when he's landing on the apron, he does a neck breaker onto the floor, which is even harder. And it's fucking just nasty bastard.
How you finding it, Chris?
I'm watching it now with no sound, so you can go back again to how. You don't need the English commentary to enjoy the match.
They add good parts to this.
Don Callis and Rocky Romero, I think, in this one.
Yeah.
Because usually we get Kevin Kelly. He's quite good. I like him.
And they react quite well to the moves.
It's just a constant Jesus from Don Callis. Jesus.
And that's also because they're allowed to swear as well, which always helps.
That's one thing I love about New Japan. See, you ever see fucking Billy Gunn fighting in New Japan?
Yeah.
He's like, suck my dick, asshole. He doesn't do a suck it or anything. It's like, suck my dick. You're fucking terrible. They're pretty brutal.
Interestingly, when they move back into the ring, I think, and Naito basically perfectly targets Omega with a series of moves, and it culminates in a really good suicide dive out of the ring that launches Omega over the barrier and onto the commentary table.
I know where this is fucking
going. This is leading to a moment where you could argue the moment that jumps off the barrier and does the moonsault, like, that was pretty cool, like, that was fucking awesome. But this was a botch the end all botches.
Well, I suppose if you're right, you're going, happy days, I fucked him up, but yeah, it's...
No, it was dangerous.
Yeah. It was stupidly dangerous. Yeah. Like, when you're at that level, it's kind of like, do they really need to be doing moves that dangerous?
I think that can be something my issue with New Japan now and again. As great as it is, you're kind of like, you guys do not need to do this.
Yeah.
But even some of the stuff they attempt off the top rope is dangerous. Like, I know I watched the wrong match, but the one I watched...
I love that statement, I watched the wrong match.
Like, Omega attempts and even gets him set up for the one-winged angel on the top rope, for Naito to reverse it into a powerbomb off the top rope. Like, it's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
You know, and like, any other times we've been watching it, like even the time where he was given... it was the tag team match, it was the Young Bucks versus the... Golden Lovers.
Yes.
Yeah, remember that bit where they had to put the food out extra to save your man from falling off the top rope? We do remember it. He put his foot slightly, saved the whole spot.
Yes, he pulled it all back in. Yeah.
It is dangerous.
Yeah. Well, the next bit...
But as I said, that side topia that fucking Naito does is fantastic, where he hits him, knocks him onto the table, and he fucks his knee.
I kind of want to get a live reaction of Chris watching this.
Because this is Chris technically watched this for the first time, because someone said him the wrong thing.
It wasn't fucking me! It totally wasn't me.
And it's just fucking brilliant. I mean, basically, as I said, Naito, as we've said, targets Omega and does a suicide dive out of the ring. It launches Omega over the barrier and onto the commentary table. And holy good fuck, he sets him up. It's basically a pile driver on the commentary table. Now, New Japan tables, I've noticed, are famous for not breaking.
They're fucking sturdy as
and they're quite narrow.
They're really thick and narrow.
Thick and narrow
sounds good. That's the way I like them.
Thick and narrow.
But they are, because they're not those shitty tables.
They're like piston tables.
Yeah, like WWE have. They're fucking made of cardboard. New Japan tables are fucking hard work.
I think you need to hit
craftsmanship
perfectly. Yeah, Japanese craftsmanship.
I don't think that's what it is.
I don't think I've ever actually seen one break properly in them.
No, I've never seen one.
I've seen people's heads break properly on them. Yeah, that's about it.
But basically,
where am I to?
Yeah,
Naito basically sets Omega up on this table. And
you feel it coming. You're just like, this is going to be a rough spot. But my instinct was it's going to be a reversal, because that's too harsh.
Yeah. Now, it's strangely, they have the commentary tables behind the barrier in this, unlike WWE, where they have the commentary tables in front of the barrier.
New Japan always have that, don't they?
Yeah, they do. But it's just compared to WWE. But basically, he sets him up for a pile driver on the table.
And misses.
And totally.
What's that, Chris?
What do you think? So, live reactions, Chris.
Jesus Christ.
So basically what happens is that Naito sets up the pile driver on Omega and totally misses the table that he's standing on.
I don't think he totally misses it, the way the angle they like. It kind of moves out of the way.
Naito's foot just
gives way.
Yeah.
No, he just loses what his bearings of where the table is.
And Omega's basically fucked. Omega bangs his head off the railings instead. It's funny, Omega's reaction when he's holding his head.
You just tell he's going, for fuck's sake!
It actually reminds you of that bit in Family Guy where Peter Griffin bangs his knee. He's like,
there's more than one.
It's like 5 minutes of like him just holding his head going,
we'll get a couple of replays of
that. You have to sympathise, or you're literally going, how's his skull not
but
cracked?
Even like, you can see Naito's walking off here, he knows he's fucked up.
He's fucked up, he's like,
I'm away home.
It's like, Kenny, you killed me.
Yeah. And he's like looking at me going, you motherfucker.
It's actually funny, but it's fucking funny.
It's funny a year and a half later.
Yeah.
And Kenny Omega's still wrestling.
This is probably why the Mexicans told him to open his eye. That's in the fucking table.
That is terrible.
Can I cut that?
Chris Carlett, not a racist.
Oh dear. Oh, but basically, man. They basically get back straight afterwards in the ring.
Oh, the snap German suplex.
He basically, Kenny Omega manages to roll back into the ring.
How's?
And Naito's like, I'm not fucking finished with you cunt. Yeah. And then basically picks him up for a snap German suplex. It's a perfect execution with a bridge. And it's on Omega, and it just targets Omega's neck constantly.
I mean, fair play to Kenny at that point, because if it were me, I'd just go, you're fucking mate.
Yeah.
I'm taking the loss here. 1, 2, 3. Yes.
He looks a bit rocked, like.
He does, but it's just, the work rate is fucking non-stop.
Dude, the lap is really 16 minutes into a 52-minute match.
Yeah, is it 52 minutes?
Well, it is about 40 minutes.
Oh, about 40 minutes, the entrances and stuff.
So, but it's the fact that Kenny's up and he actually goes when Naito does like a leg sweep and a step over, and
yeah.
Omega's still cope with madness enough to reverse it, and he yeah. double stomps him in the chest. It's like, as Andy says, I'd be lying there fucked going, give me five, man, give me five, please.
You still be inside the comedy club.
I'd be like, oh, I need to text my mum and tell her I'm alright. Fucked, like,
I mean,
how he's up there and going,
the thing I know is about the work rate is just fucking relentless in this match, and
there's no, I love the way there's no milking. There's no milking. There's like, if you're kind of fucked, it's up on a move.
They still go. Yeah.
They still go. Other
for the next move.
Yeah, other feds, you see them sort of slow the pace, they get my shit together again. But this is just constant.
There's this match is so
there's
good.
A great beautiful. Point as well. This like they start Omega starts chopping him, but the thing
the
he
sound
does,
of those chops, man.
Yeah.
The echo in the arena is. Just,
he actually he, what he does here now. You sort of think, right, they can't get much more brutal. What's going on so far?
Aye, and do you think that's one botch? One box limit, please.
Right.
That's all I
but
need.
What he does to Naito afterwards when he starts to come to, he basically targets Naito again.
All lower backs as well.
All lower back. But then he does the lariats into the fucking the turnbuckle, the arse whips in the turnbuckle.
They're so
sorry.
Hard, man.
Yeah, he doesn't release Naito.
No,
he doesn't let go of him. He's just like, I'm fucking.
Slap.
He literally just
I'm
fucks him. He's like, fucks him into the corner full force. So, man. You fucking cunt, you deserve this after what you did to me.
And after
table.
He busted my head, this is,
yeah.
it, this is the bit you don't remember us rehearsing where he's gonna just fuck him about
to
the
ring. To be fair, Naito really fucking sells it. Well, I don't think he had a choice to make.
So, like,
I don't think he's selling it.
Not
he's
much
actually,
of an option, they were like. He's like, as you keep saying, he's pissing blood with his kidneys, bashing into the turnbuckle.
But
like,
when he does the fucking, the whips into the corner and he doesn't let go, I remember what, I was watching this again the other night and I just was like, I just had to pause it. I was like, I can't fucking cope already. I forgot half the stuff that was in this match because there's so much in it. And it was a year and a half since I'd seen it. But Jesus fuck, it's just a lot.
I'd say, like, we're this far into our own episode, obviously, getting to the confusion of which match it was aside. And, but the match itself is actually quite early in and there's still so much to go.
Yeah, it's just the fucking, it just, it doesn't stop. Their fitness is beyond, above and beyond anything you see in usually a WWE main roster. Like,
but
it's go
even,
and go and go.
But it's even not, I don't think it's just the fitness, it's the fact that Omega's doing simplistic moves like backbreakers on his knee.
But makes
like
him
the way, yeah, the way he scoops Naito and carries through, drops the knee, and it's like, that's a run of the mill move that 90% of the rest of, but then
well,
Megan,
no,
like, devastating.
Sword, yeah.
Do you know, I was just about to say that, and I'm not just, it's not that I'm picking on WWE, but you see, they're really hard moves to pull off, but you can see that they really, really, really do take they take care of everyone in the ring. But when you watch the likes of Omega and Naito do it, they don't look like they're taking care of each other.
They
it's,
look like they're
it,
trying to kill
like
each other.
It looks like it's so fucking, like, you can see the knee hitting the back. It's not, oh, I've hit, your legs are hitting the ground before they even touch my
yeah,
knee. You
yeah,
know,
it's
they,
generally
it's like,
putting the force to the back.
I'm a break you,
but
bitch.
They're absolute professionals in what they're doing. It's actually brilliant. Kenny Omega at one point, another moment where he climbs up onto the second rope and Naito actually manages a really, really vicious neck breaker
yeah,
off
the
second
rope.
Oh, yeah.
It's stinking.
And it's pure fucking dirt. It's just, get your filthy hands
I love,
off
but
me.
The camera pans into Naito and he's just fucked. It's like, what? There's got to be an easier living than this. Like,
and again,
getting your bag kicked in.
Targeting the neck of Omega, there's continuity in the build up, like they're building up
yeah.
and up, and they just keep targeting the same areas, you know, targeting Omega's neck, Omega
Naito's
returns target
back.
His lower back, and it's just non fucking stop, and it's just perfect in ring storytelling. Like, I, you know, there isn't really arguably a context to this match because it's part of the tournament,
but
you,
the
you're sensing
is,
the whole history and the of not just like between the two wrestlers and them vying for supremacy, but it's also when you think about the sort of winning this tournament means a lot. It's just a massive thing.
I think that's it. They're putting over the legacy, the heritage of the
yeah.
of the competition. Like, that's going as far back as 1974 as we
yeah.
mentioned earlier.
Yeah,
but even it's a chance at the championship, which is what you want to be. You want to be the top dog in any company. You need to hold the gold
yeah,
belt. Yeah,
and up to this point, Kenny Omega that has eluded him.
To that point, yeah, yeah, and he was always the also-ran, like
yeah.
he was the nearly man.
It's like, yeah, he can steal a show, but can he carry a company?
Yeah, and
yeah.
That was the thing, and you kind of felt that, we'll get to it, but he always sort of felt that he always failed the final hurdle
mm-hmm.
when it mattered.
He was literally within, like, touching distance,
yeah.
and it was always sweep from under his feet. Like,
but again, he sells that.
But has there been any other wrestlers who weren't Japanese who have held the big gold belt?
Actually, yeah, two notable ones for us. AJ Styles, of course, and then Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar did hold the belt.
I didn't know he held it. I knew he wrestled for New Japan, but I didn't know that he actually held the belt.
You see, I didn't know that he held a belt until whenever Kenny eventually won it, and they did the legacy thing
and you
about
saw
all the people who had won it before. And then I saw Brock Lesnar and went, did Brock actually hold the belt?
He looked hard as fuck as well. He did. Goatee.
But that match with Nakamura, isn't it him and Nakamura fight?
Yeah.
It's meant to be fucking great, is it not?
Yeah, definitely worth it.
Did he sell in New Japan though?
He did, but it was quite. It was pre UFC, so he was kind of still.
He was still a wrestler.
He could still be arsed.
Yeah, he could still be arsed.
He'd still be fucked. Now he's just coining it in. Pay me millions.
To be fair, he
was selling in the lap. What was the last one he was in there?
Daniel Bryan.
He sold well in that match.
He did sell well in that, eventually. You know, when it rolled around Daniel Bryan.
I enjoy watching Brock fight. Like, I really do.
Well, when he sells, you know.
At the time of recording, we're not quite sure if he has actually wrestled since.
yeah, that's true. Fuck knows what he's up to.
But yeah, back to this match. I have to say that the best thing that I love about matches like this New Japan are the explosive changes in the flow and dominance between the wrestlers. So when you think someone's got the upper hand and they're going to carry it for a little while, it's like on a sixpence, it just turns.
Aye, that's because like was it Kenny hits the fucking, like, is it a Hurricanrana or a Snap Frankensteiner, like out of nowhere to change the flow.
Just the flow out of nowhere. And
then
Naito
rolls out of the ring.
Yeah. It's absolutely fucking brilliant. Yeah, Nettie rolls out of the ring, and then basically what happens is that Omega does a fucking incredible somersault suicide dive over the top rope.
I just want to say the buzz in the stadium just puts class
when basically
he does this suicide dive over the top rope and basically crashes with Naito into the barrier. But it's funny that the Young Bucks
and into the Young Bucks,
yeah, Young Bucks are only there to cushion his fall.
Naito actually cracks his head off the barrier as well.
He does, yeah. He's probably
returning the favour for Kenny's fucking head.
I bet you Kenny was just like, take that, you cunt.
Yeah. It's glorious, the three replays. It's fucking beautiful to see him, the height that Omega gets.
He does, and the hang time in his somersaults are incredible. But the Young Bucks, I said before, are only there to cushion his fall. They don't get involved directly in the match. They never intervene. They tend to not really intervene in Japan.
No,
they're more just there as sort of like a glorified supporter.
But I like that though, because it pisses me off.
It shows respect
and
faith in that the two wrestlers will have a fair fight more times than enough.
It shows more story towards the factions as well.
Yeah,
because
they're
all very supportive of each other and want to be the best.
I just remembered what the next wee spot that comes up in this one, where Kenny on the top rope.
Oh,
when Naito's standing up getting his shit together. It's fucking brutal.
Oh yes. Well, hey, this here, like,
Missile drop kick. Naito's got whiplash, man.
Yeah, Naito's
that's
basically
whiplash.
Naito in that part is standing with his back to Omega, and he's in the centre of the ring, and Omega climbs the top rope and literally does a missile drop kick to the back of his head.
It's fucking, like, so when you say he's focused on his neck's fucked, it's jelly at this point.
Yeah, I mean, even from a technical point of view though, the amount of trust that Naito has in Kenny Omega to do that and not kill him,
it's
quite miraculous.
You wouldn't get away with that in WWE, because
you wouldn't be allowed to.
You wouldn't be allowed to.
And be Paige to be fair,
Benoit calls. He wants his brain lesions back.
That's what I'm saying. To be fair, I understand why WWE would want the wrestlers to do that.
Yeah, there's just too much risk. It just shows you the professionalism and almost the trust that the wrestlers have for each other in New Japan. They practice all this shit in their dojo, New Japan dojo, where they really go over these moves. That's why they managed to pull them off. I think because WWE wrestlers are always on the road, they don't get that time.
Don't get enough time
in the practice ring.
Yeah, well, that is a good point. Something I never really thought about before.
Whereas New Japan, like, they literally hone their craft constantly in the dojo, and they'll probably rehearse a lot of this stuff between each other, big set pieces and big moves, and that's why it pays off quite well, because they have that trust that something's going to work because they practiced it. That's the impression I get.
But on top of that, I love, even after all the practice, their moves still always look like
off the cuff. It doesn't look sacred. It doesn't look rehearsed. That's what I love about it. It doesn't look.
Yeah. It's pretty fucking relentless. The next move actually is a great Omega signature move.
I can't pronounce this.
It's the Shodo or something. Shodo.
Yeah, but it's
basically a cross-legged fisherman buster.
But it's the hang time
dropped under the knee.
I love the way he just holds him there as well. Like, it's not as rapid as his other executed moves where it's just impact.
For this, it's absolute ingenuity. Like, this is a really ingenious move where he hooks the leg in the fisherman buster and then under the knee. It's just, that's an idea of, like, that's pure New Japan for me. Like they will take a simple
very
move,
innovative,
modify it,
yeah,
slightly, but just with a hook in the knee, a hook in the leg, and then drop him onto a simple buster, you know, like onto the knee or something, and it's so fucking devastating. And it's like, I doubt WWE would allow that. And in fact, remember Carl Anderson, I remember I mentioned this before, he did a move once in a match in WWE on the main roster, and it was off, I can't remember what it did exactly, but it was something to do with a buster off the knee, but he got his opponent off the middle rope and did a buster onto the knee, and as soon as I saw it, I went, that's pure New Japan.
He took
it
with him.
Do you know what?
Never saw it again.
Never saw it again.
Yeah.
I think he was told afterwards, you're not to do that move ever again.
Probably get scolded.
Right, yeah, probably.
I think he was scolded. And it was fucking brilliant. I remember when he did it, the crowd fucking went, holy shit, that looked a bit brutal.
And it's so sad for Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, because they're both so talented and just
yeah,
haven't, they haven't got a chance to let loose.
They haven't,
like that.
No. And it's a real shame. But moves like that are just fucking brilliant.
But that's, I love about this match, where you see these innovative moves, and they're completely, if you just see them in any other fed, that's it, that completely incapacitating move, you should be totally
fucked.
That's
a finisher.
But in the retrospect of this match, Naito just goes, you know what, fuck this. Instant reversal.
Yeah.
Like a swinging fucking. Oh. Kenny reverses it, but then he just goes, tell you what, swinging fucking DDT.
Yeah.
With a wee bit of assist off the top rope.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Spinning, that spinning DDT was fucking brilliant.
It's just poetry in motion.
He did that in my match too. And I was like, that was fucking amazing.
Finally,
Chris dials in.
He dials in. I've seen that move before in the other match.
But it's just constant, as you say, the ebb and flow. You think it's all Kenny at one point,
yeah,
but it drops in and out of him and Naito. It's so fucking good. Like,
it's funny, I actually noticed not long after this, Omega actually uses one of Prince Devitt's signature moves. You know, Finn Balor's signature moves, the Bloody Sunday.
Does he?
Yeah. He uses the Bloody Sunday.
That's the inverted suplex.
I think it is, yeah.
I thought that was called the 1916.
Well, he might have changed the name of it.
Yeah.
Bloody Sunday isn't PG.
I said Prince Devitt's move because he was in Japan.
Of course, yeah.
So I think that was probably called Bloody Sunday.
But never mind that fucking move.
The turnbuckle
bots, lads.
I forgot about that,
what
actually.
The fuck?
Chris just saw it for the first time.
Yeah, I actually forgot about that.
It's not a bot. Kenny's in the top rope with Naito, and Naito's getting into position, and Kenny's standing on the mat, and he fucking slips underneath Naito's legs, pulls him forward, and Naito drops face fucking first on the turnbuckle. You're talking Cesaro style fucking teeth.
I made that note because
why is his face not fucked?
Well, I watched this the other night again, and I hadn't seen it in a year and a half, and I was like, holy fuck, I totally forgot that happened in that
it's
match.
It's amazing.
He looks to attempt a top rope move on Omega, who basically, he slips underneath him and drops him face first on the top of the corner turnbuckle.
Red Shoes is up all like, are you dead, dude?
Yeah, Red Shoes
is like, you're bound to be fucking dead,
mate. It's so grim. And as you said, I made a note here about, you know, it's grim to see, especially after what happened to Cesaro with his teeth.
Naito's alright. Naito's like, he's a bit dead.
Naito didn't
like,
even get a fucking chance. Kenny Omega just grabbed him in a dragon sleeper and just fucking
slammed
him
on his
head.
And then a V-trigger straight after.
Yeah,
V-trigger.
But the best thing about that turnbuckle move is that it shows that it's just ingenuity again. They use everything in this fucking ring environment as a weapon. You know, that's just ingenious. And then, right after that, he just fucking clatters him with a series of V-triggers. He's like, I'm not fucking done with you, you cunt. And just fucking bangs him solidly. It's just, I just, at this point,
You're spent.
I was like, no hands coming. I was literally standing there, and I was just jizzing, and I wasn't even touching myself.
Spooky ghost!
I was fucking, it was just mental. It's actually ironic because, you know, we said about that was followed up with the neck breaking Snapdragon.
More focuses on the neck. It's like how both of them are not completely fucked.
We're only halfway through the bloody match.
And then when he hits him that V trigger, it looks like he's broke his cheekbone, Naito's cheekbone.
But the camera shot is so, you're in the moment, you're right up beside it. As soon as he lands, it's fucking.
Do you know what the
funny
thing is? I've actually made a note here. It's like, remember that time when Xavier Woods and Kenny Omega were having the bit of spat back and forth building up for their Street Fighter?
Oh, and the tournament thing,
yeah. And they were giving each other back and forth, and Xavier Woods actually attempted a V-trigger in a WWE match, but he barely made contact with
in
the
opponent. In comparison?
No, he basically made no contact and slapped his thigh for the effect of the sound. And for me, that just showed the gulf in class and performance.
What they're ready to get away with.
A
more prevalent example of that was when Seth Rollins had the curb stomp banned in WWE for a bit. He actually used the V-trigger as his finisher, and it looks so piss poor.
It doesn't sell well.
Sharpshooter? You fucking...
Dude, it's a shite fucking sharpshooter. Get over it.
Xavier Woods' feet trigger looked like when Tilly gives me a super kick. Just like the slap comes before the legs even lifted.
You know the weirdest thing about it? Because he had that fucking that unicorn boot. Horn on the boot.
Yeah, with the
so hook. It made it look even more ridiculous. But, you know, for me, I think it don't just show the golf and class in terms of performance. It really hammers home to me that New Japan wrestlers tend to wrestle like it's their last ever match. You know, they put everything on the line. Every match seems important to them, even down to the Young Lions. They wrestle like they'll never ever get to wrestle again for the crowd,
because they're clawing up the card. Yeah. That's why they're trying.
But also, there's probably a high mortality rate in those.
Yeah, to be fair, yeah, it's like they're wrestling against the last match because it actually might be their last match.
Well, you saying that, like, we saw that when the guy broke his neck and finished the fucking match.
Yeah.
Do you know, like
Takahashi, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh fuck, that's
that was
oh,
Jesus.
They are committed to this.
That was it all into, wasn't it?
No, that was
the G1 special
in America.
Sorry, I'm completely wrong.
I watched that one.
Actually, San Francisco one. It was San Francisco one, wasn't it? Yeah, that was a good event actually. But you know, we're talking about the performance rate in this. It just continues again. I mean, yeah, Chris just saw a moment where it's another devastating neckbreaker by Naito and Omega, and I mean, he does a nasty up and down slam that just focuses on Omega's neck. I mean, really,
Kenny's head is like a fucking banjo string bent around
it
the
is
here.
It's fucking, it's wild, like he just fucking non-stop, and then
he but just then Naito just goes fuck this, and doesn't he reverse?
No, well, Omega reverses on Naito and then does a fucking
like a tombstone,
like an inverted pile driver sort of thing.
Yeah,
it's just fuck me. I just
spot
after spot after
then,
spot,
and then they get up and they do it again.
And the good thing, the fun thing about this is that from this point on, the match really starts to amplify. And you're going, how can it amplify?
How does it get any better?
How does it get any better? And it just fucking ramps up even harder.
I feel like we should just have a live feed on Chris for the rest of this and just...
I wish we had a video reaction.
It's mind blown.
Yeah. You know, the crowd are on the edge of their seats at this moment.
He looks really
bored
right now, but it's...
What were you going to say, Chris?
It's just, I watched this match this morning, I was like, this is fucking amazing, I can't, and then I'm watching this, it's like, fuck, this is even just better.
What does your notes say?
Looking at my notes going, fuck that.
Oh, I think I forgot about this. There's a part that happens here. Oh my God. It's a bit that's coming up here on the video that's playing next to us of the match. There's... fucking hell, there's a drop onto the ring post with Naito's head.
Yeah, another one. As if the first one wasn't fucking brutal enough.
When they both lock up on the top turnbuckle.
But this is a proper botch. The other one was an instigated move on
Kenny's
part.
Yeah, this is a botch.
This is a botch where his foot slips.
His foot slips
and
his head goes on the metal ring post.
It's not the turnbuckle, it's the
metal
fucking ring post. Like, oh my God.
I just saw it.
It is awful.
It's fucking brutal.
Like, Chris just winced.
Actually, do you know what I wrote in my notes? Fucking forgot about that cunting drop under the ring post with Naito's head.
That's the most devastating DDT I have ever seen.
But you know what? At least his big lion bar hair
protected him.
Fucking protected him.
Even Omega's like,
Jesus,
what the fuck happened?
Why
and the worst thing is, they continue on to get up and try and do it again.
They repeat the spot. Like,
yeah. And it's just fucking brilliant. And
I'm sure Red Shoes is shiting himself going, fuck me, like if one of these cunts
boys
dies,
are gonna die.
He's gonna die on my watch, like.
But yeah, and it basically they continue on with this spot.
I actually love this spot.
This
so
spot's
much.
Amazing.
One of my favourite spots in wrestling.
It's basically a top rope powerbomb attempt on Naito.
With reversing.
With the reverse hurricanrana.
It's so good, man. And such a sell by Omega.
And
it's
right
fantastic.
Across the fucking ring. He's vaulted right across the ring. And
so good.
Chris's face here.
Reverse hurricanrana.
Chris is
so
quiet.
Good.
Well, you know what? We're going to put up a picture on social media at some point about this because, oh fuck, like Chris's reaction is just. Can't believe
his
it.
His wee eyes. It's fucking great. But again, it's one of the moves that is just, even though there's been a botch before that, botches and matches a lot of the time sort of put a dampener on the flow, but this thing just keeps...
Our podcast recordings.
I think...
Well, yeah, true.
I think after... doesn't Naito try to set up a mega game?
No, he does the reverse arana and he executes another move, but he's no strength left in his body.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's a rope break because of that, because he literally cannot carry on through.
Yeah, well, he does. So, he sets him up again to try... for reverse hurricanrana,
Oh, the Frankensteiner?
Yeah, oh yeah, look.
Frankensteiner's insane. Like, Frankensteiner off the top rope. It's so good. A Frankensteiner off the top rope is one of my fucking favourite moves, man. It's devastating.
And when we were saying, like, they really amplify this match just before this part, it really does. And the fucking crowd.
Oh, look at the crowd, just how clappy.
I know, everybody's happy as
that. But when you hear it, the crowd are actually electric.
They're shitting themselves.
They are. The bags have been shot clean off them. You know, the balls have been spent. You know,
it's so good.
The balls,
man,
have begun to bleed. This is spending that much.
Chris, are you okay, man?
He's suffering over
Chris,
there.
Chris is having a. I think Chris
he's sweating buckets here.
Yeah, he is sweating the fucking bag off himself. I mean, it's just insane. And then after all of this, the crowd's electric. Naito's lying prone. It seems like his true redemption here, because the crowd are really starting to get into Naito, who is a bit of a heel. But then Omega locks Naito in the modified reverse tombstone, and Naito somehow kicks out. And then afterwards,
and they're both fucked by this.
They're
stage.
Fucked. Yeah. But afterwards, it's just V-Triggers.
V-Trigger City.
Yeah, V-Trigger City.
V-trigger.
Bitch!
Honest to fuck. Like,
it doesn't stop.
The
like,
sounds of these V-Triggers are just... It sounds like a gunshot.
I think you're reading my notes.
Really? I've still just, copied them.
You know,
that's what it is. It's
I,
like,
so you didn't actually watch the match.
It's as well you're not reading my fucking notes.
What is your notes at this stage, Chris?
Well, yeah, they're both still fighting. My match is over. It ended about 10 minutes ago.
It's just when they look at Naito's face and he's lying on the mat and you're just like, they have to be coming to the end. It's like,
yeah,
as a viewer, you're like, what more? What's left?
Yeah.
What these
actually
guys
is left? But there's loads more to go.
Their cardio is fucking amazing.
Isn't
yeah.
it? Isn't it though?
So, it's incredible. Oh my god!
Sorry, Chris just saw the reverse tombstone and then Naito kicks out. And
Burnley?
Then this is where it sets up for the V-Triggers. And I written in my notes that it's just the fucking devastating sound is the connect.
I almost want to stick the sound on at this point. Just
no, can't. Chris will piss his
pants.
No,
he will shit himself. And I'll tell you now, I bet you Triple H watched this match and he pulled the bar clean off himself.
Definitely.
I bet you, watching this.
I just love the V-Triggers in themselves because they're not, it's not a technical move, it's just high impact, man.
Yeah, it's
that's
devastating.
But the best moves are, though.
But that's
yeah,
the thing.
They, so fantastic
they,
about it.
They're technical. I mean, Kenny Omega, Naito, Okada, all the top guys in New Japan are extremely technical.
Sure.
But they do the basics very well as well.
It's like an execution, that's what I love about
yeah.
it.
Do you know
he sets Naito up.
Oh, yeah.
Just basically, he just sets him up. He's executing him over and over again. The guy just won't fucking die.
And, the V-Trigger, that's actually... a reference to a move in Street Fighter. It's a special move.
There you go.
So there you are.
The only other guy I've seen it who does it with as much power as Omega would be Aleister Black in NXT. When he lifts the knee up, it's very fucking impressive. But
the sound on these ones are just... Fuck me. Like
he gets two V-Triggers that are just... To me, that's like... That's
good.
He should be dead. But Naito, I think it's...
I love this one.
He goes in for a third one and he just collapses.
Third knee, he collapses, which is...
It's the small things like that
but then
I love New Japan.
But then, he sets him up for a fourth knee strike.
But the best thing I love about that, it's akin to... Do you remember when Okada was doing the Rainmakers on Kenny?
Yeah.
And Kenny collapses. It's kind of
yes.
the same storytelling. I love that.
And then it's actually funny, he suffers like
a
big fucking tooth rattler. But then Kenny actually sets him up for Dr. Wily Bone. Does anyone know that reference?
No.
From Mega Man, that's the bad guy.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Wily.
I'm glad you're here for the game and
so,
references.
Yeah.
Thank fuck
do you know
for
what?
That.
I actually think that, I can I just say, I think Kenny and I would get along. I think we get
so.
On just fine. I reckon he'd come to this game room and he'd go,
just don't talk about the Undertaker. Fuck me.
You know,
you're gonna fend him.
I mean, he's in the retro gaming.
I mean,
he lifts a weight or two.
I reckon you could probably pick AJ Styles to see him though with his retro gaming.
That's not talking.
I don't know. I mean, AJ does know stuff to a degree. Although in the up, up, down, down channel, the retro styles one, I do quite like it. But some things they do fuck up in their references and it just annoys me. But I'm just weird about that sort of thing. You know what?
Four V triggers.
I think
here,
I think
fucking V triggers.
Simpson, stop it!
He's already
dead.
But he's not, because he reverses, and then another Frankensteiner. But there's not a lot of strength behind
it. It's a desperate reverse.
They're getting tired.
Oh, Frankensteiner! It's a desperate move by Naito.
Shot.
Or is it a reverse Rana or something?
Yeah,
it's
reverse Rana. But you know what? Like, I would invite Kenny around. He'd be a good laugh. See Naito. I wouldn't bring him around. He'd probably set fire to my cat or something.
He'd be too chill that he wouldn't turn up.
He'd probably spit on it to put it out.
It's sneak out your toilet.
Sorry. Basically, the One Wing Angel attempt by Kenny. You sort of know that they're going for a finish here.
Yeah.
Because they're starting to attempt the big moves. But it doesn't pay off. Naito performs a desperate, desperate reverse Rana. And then you can really sense desperation by Naito. But then he comes back immediately with an amazing Destino, which Omega kicks out from. And then he tries it again, only for Omega to disrupt it halfway through in an attempt to turn it into a one-wing angel. But then that doesn't quite work out. So halfway through that, he masterfully puts Naito through the ringer with a German suplex.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Before a standing V-trigger.
I love how you are literally commenting this now.
Then, you think that's it. Then, there's a standing V-trigger.
Boom.
No, and then he does another more devastating V-trigger to the side of the head.
Is it six in total? Got six V-triggers?
So he's going to do another V-trigger, and this one, was just like, oh fuck.
The entire arena is just, the walls shook, noise of this thing, like, it is fucking stinking. Yeah. And the camera angle so close to Naito's face. It is insane.
Chris just saw the really devastating V-trigger to the side of the head.
And now he's going for the one-way angel.
Yep, he's going for the one-way angel.
The reverse sort of DDT off the back of Naito. Yeah. Fucking so good, man.
Yeah, it's fucking brilliant. At this point, I was well beyond foaming at the tip. I really was.
I had nothing left.
I went straight to Ball Empty and Glory.
I had nothing. I was absolutely, because I was hungover the dick watching this morning, and my emotions were shot, because it's just, you're up and down constantly.
Yeah.
It's such a phenomenal show.
Again, the work rate is just, they've gone beyond 100%. It's 110% throughout. There's no let up in the pace.
I mean, I'm exhausted watching it.
Yeah, but it's like a good exhaustion. No, absolutely. You know, it's like a post-sex exhaustion. It's like,
I'm with myself, man.
I fucking shunted hard for a good 2 minutes.
Totally worth it.
Totally worth it. Yeah. I'm out of breath. But, you know, you sort of think at this, like, what more can they possibly do? And then they're both fucking wrecked at this point.
But it's funny because Naito's back up on his feet.
Yeah, and they both are. They exchange back and forth chops, and it just shows to me it really showed, they were literally expending everything in this. It was a war.
Aye.
And they're expending everything to win this title, this G1 trophy. And I just couldn't fucking cope. Like, I just could not cope at this stage. I was like, they literally dead on their feet. They can't really do anything more.
Pure passion. That's what I love about it. Like, absolutely. It's pure passion. There's at no point do you think these boys are just earning a wage.
No.
Their hearts are fucking in it.
They love and believe what they do.
I love it. Love it.
The best thing as well, Naito, right after this, somehow performs a dragon suplex. And then Red Shoes, the ref, he literally fucking jumps in out of nowhere to count. I mean, like, he dives like
Red
midair.
Shoes does?
Yeah, he dives and fucking, like, dives. Just fucking hammer out mental. Of nowhere. Hammer out of nowhere. It's just fucking absolutely amazing. But it's just unbelievable. I can't, like, it's
just
the dragon suplex.
Dragon suplex comes out of nowhere.
Jumps out of nowhere.
But to me, that's like, it's not the most, you know, finisher-esque type move, but I would have been totally complacent going, if Kenny doesn't kick out of that,
that works
for me, because holistically, this match has been so fucking good.
Yeah, and then He tries to do the
Destino. He doesn't get it.
Doesn't get it. But then,
fucking spinning Destino is beautifully executed.
Oh, the spinning Destino.
And
Omega kicks out.
And you're like, how?
How can you kick out?
How are you kicking out of this, man?
But there's nothing left in Kenny at this point. There's nothing left.
Fucking foobard. Like.
He is totally foobard. He's fucking blue-balled and foobard.
I've
a blue balloon. Yeah. And he then does another Destino and finishes him off.
But it's, you know what the thing is? I kind of like the fact that it's like, he doesn't have another move that's even more devastating. It's the same move. And it's like, it doesn't matter. If you get hit with that, I accept that that's going to fucking murder you.
The thing I quite like about this, he knows he can finish him with that move.
With that move. Mike Taylor
just knew. He knew one more will do it.
Yeah.
And he did it. And he basically gets, he wins the title after this. He wins the G1 Championship trophy. And all I can say is,
Chris, are you okay, man?
Yeah. You've been so silent, you're just like mesmerised, man.
Chris is literally sitting here in silence.
He's just taking his hat off.
He looks like he's shell-shocked.
I'm sweating.
You're down to pull the bar yourself. You're like, this is too good.
He's going
to
run the toilet afterwards.
Like, the one thing I love as well, as it's all finished and like, they're all laying absolutely fucked on the ground. Naito's laying down there. And you see Bushi rocking up with his wee baseball cap and all. And you just know he's looking at him, you know, with a mask and all. He's going, mate, are you alright? Like, are you alright? There's absolutely no way.
The only thing I can say after that is just fuck me.
It's amazing. Great match.
What a content battle.
I just need a cigarette after it.
You don't even smoke.
Whiskey.
I know. Yeah.
I don't even smoke, man.
He doesn't even smoke. I think I'm going to start smoking. I really feel like I need to after that. I need some sort of outlet. that they'll kill me. And nothing can get better than that.
This is the fourth time I watched this, and fuck.
And still, I can still. Now that is a match I could watch again.
Agree.
Highly, highly, highly recommend.
Oh, without a doubt. Now, my thoughts on the match, unfucking believable. I mean, my balls have expanded so much; they're mere shriveled raisins now. I mean, they really are. I have no more superlatives for this match. I mean, it's just a fucking masterclass in wrestling and the basic moves, storytelling, technical ability, big spots, botches. Drama,
everything.
I mean, it's just fucking top class. That is one of the, I would argue one of the best matches of all time.
Ooh.
Without a doubt, one of the best, not the best, but one of the
one
best.
Of that's up there.
Because I could go back and I could watch that. I could play. I could show that. I've showed that to people who've never watched New Japan before, and they went, "Fucking hell! I can't believe what I've just seen. Is this for real?" And I went, "Yep, this is what you get when you
watch."
That's the caliber of match.
Yeah.
And I just, for me. Just fucking amazing. And what a way to properly see what Naito can do for my first ever time. I was just blown away by it. And I have nothing more to say, Andy. I feel like...
You don't need to say any more, man. It's fucking great, like...
That was grand.
Agani! Fuck's sake.
No, I really can't add anything more than what Troop just said.
And on my part, I'll just say, like, it's phenomenal to see someone like Naito who has had a bit of a hard time, as you mentioned earlier, you know, going out to Mexico and all that. And for, as you say, in Japan, a lot of people didn't think
that he was that much.
He was that much. And he pulled it out of the fucking bag, like, and it put on such an amazing
show. It was redemptive for him.
Yeah.
Of course, after this match, Naito goes on to face Okada at Wrestle Kingdom at that January, which was an amazing match. If you get a chance, we actually might cover it in another episode.
Yeah.
And of course, one I hope we get to cover is Kenny Omega, of course, goes on to fight a certain Chris Jericho, which arguably changes the whole landscape of the wrestling business from 2018 onwards.
Oh, actually, that's actually a good point. I never realized. When you think about it, you could say that maybe the genesis of everything changing was possibly everyone starting to watch New Japan because of the Okada Omega matches, hearing about the Young Bucks. But I think where it really changed were people
when,
went there's
when
a
Jericho realistic, turned
yeah.
up.
Yeah, people yeah. went, there's actually something in this.
Well, he's a WWE
why,
guy,
yeah,
that's why
yeah, but it's like, why don't they go out and do something on their own? You know, this is conceivably better than what we're seeing with WWE. It is better than what we're seeing with WWE.
Without a doubt.
And it's made actually people stand up and go, I actually would probably say that probably set the ball, the wheels in motion for All In that happened.
Well, yes. And of course, by the time this episode airs, we could have an AEW.
Yes.
Yeah, the All Elite Wrestling, if that is actually going to become a thing.
Well, there's, you know, big, the owner of Fulham FC and Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
Billionaire owner. He's apparently the big money backer.
Yeah.
And there's talk, if they get a TV deal, that'll be big.
Well,
it will be.
And if they get, like, I think they'll run it like an open door policy, like in a proper indie. They'll probably tie people down with a basic contract, I imagine, but it'll not be as restrictive as, say, WWE. There'll be a lot of working with other pros.
Hopefully, by the time we come to do future episodes, we'll know a wee bit more about it, because
yeah.
I mean, it is just all speculation.
Hmm. Yeah.
There's just trademarks, and that's it.
Yeah. But yeah, fucking amazing. Chris, what did you think about it?
First time round
watching the match.
Have you made notes on it now?
Yeah, what was your fucking notes?
I just think that the match I watched this morning was better, you know.
Oh,
I'm only joking. No, like, as I sat there this morning writing these notes with the match I watched, I thought, this is fucking amazing. You can't top this. Oh, that's brutal. That's fucking brutal. And then you look at this like, oh my god, that's even more brutal. You know, it was amazing. I loved it. Watching it with no sound, I was still blown away.
Do you know what? I have to actually say, can I just interject that just watching you watch the match,
was it entertaining?
That was entertaining for me, because that literally made my night. Knowing that you hadn't seen it,
yeah, true.
And getting past that, the joke about it, and then seeing your reaction as it unfolded while we're talking about it, it was just fucking brilliant.
It was amazing. I'm always impressed when I watch a New Japan match, always, because it's like you've said it throughout the whole podcast, that the passion that's in it is incredible. The ring is hard as fuck. The tables are hard as fuck, and they just
the moves are hard as fuck.
The wrestlers are hard as fuck.
My dick is hard as fuck.
They don't hold back, you know.
Actually, it's flaccid now. I can't take anymore.
Oh god!
My dick is sore. It's been hard.
Can we not have? Can we have an episode where we don't reference your penis? ever.
Specifically his.
Yeah, just his.
Talk about yours there.
Talk about all what's left of him.
It's worn down your nubbin.
I feel bad that I wasn't able to have prepared notes, but Richard, you carried that episode fucking beautifully.
Thank you.
It was amazing. Although,
I'm modest with it, you fucking.
Don't turn around too quick, you might poke your eyes out with that nose. But I did, during the match I watched, I found a wee bit of, or I got a bit of Kenny Omega trivia I thought I'd share for you. So that, did you know that he was a quite a famous hockey goalkeeper, and he could have went to the National Hockey League but chose to pursue wrestling instead?
I didn't know that.
Bam!
Thank fuck
and
he
that's
didn't.
The end of that
Thank
episode.
Fuck he didn't. I'd rather watch him.
But he's Canadian. They're all potentially going to the NHL.
Yeah. I'd much rather watch Kenny Omega.
Well, to be fair, when I watch this match and look at my notes, it's the only fucking thing I could offer.
So
I would rather watch Kenny Omega V trigger the fuck out of boys all day and all night than see him fucking.
I would love to see him V trigger someone in an
ice rink.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the hockey fight? Strip the helmet off. He jumps over the knee. Yeah.
One wing angel
and the goalie. Fucking hell.
Right, no. Well, I think that brings us to a close.
I can't believe we managed to salvage this episode, to be honest.
I can't believe we managed to salvage any episode, to be honest.
It did kind of start pretty rough, but we got there.
Yeah, we got there in the end.
I can't believe I watched the wrong fucking match.
You blame Curry.
I can't blame Curry.
There's my notes.
Scrumpled away. Crumpling through the bin.
Okay, and on that ending, we'll leave it here. You can follow us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can find us at the Four Suite.
Yep.
And same with Vampire Freaks as well.
Fuck off!
I'm going to have to kill it.
Don't forget to check out www.foursuitehorseman.co.uk.
Foursuitehorseman.com. No, it's .com.
.com.
Is it .com?
Fuck knows.
Jesus
Christ. Google it.
I just Google us, you'll find us.
Put it in your Google machine.
Check links in bio.
And also, subscribe on Spotify and iTunes and all the other
podcast clients.
Yeah.
Yep. And leave us a review on iTunes, please, because it helps us move up the podcast.
And definitely, it would be much appreciated if we did get a few more offers of matches that people out there think would be worthy of us fucking watching them again that we may have not already seen.
Yeah,
you know, as we talk about New Japan, WWE,
anything.
Gonna be looking at some Lucha Underground stuff, so
yeah,
give us
some OTT.
Yeah, an OTT,
we'll be talking about OTT.
Over the top wrestling, but it'd be nice to get some info or some matches to watch in like Progress, Rev Pro, ICW,
Ring of Honor,
Ring of
Impact,
Honor,
Impact, anything you've seen, even old ECW matches as well. We want to talk about some
that.
Of them. We're going
to
talk about some.
I'd love someone just to give us one WCW match that we could do. I want to do WCW matches.
There was a few WCW matches.
There was a few
matches.
War Games actually.
Yeah, a few
well,
WCW
maybe
matches.
For a War Games match. Definitely. But certainly leave us suggestions and feedback on our social media channels, and we'll respond in kind, because that certainly gives us more ideas and more scope for things that we should be covering. But certainly, I think we'll leave it there.
Sure.
We've been the Four Sweet Horseman Podcast. I'm Richard.
I'm Andrew.
I'm still a very hungover Stephen Curry. Still.
This is Chris, and I hope I have watched the right match for the next one.
I fucking hope you do. Just don't answer any fucking messages from me saying watch this video.
I think you'd be kicked out of the group chat.
Fuck.
And on that, we'll say goodbye.